We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here. Old man Andres Hill is back in the building. First and foremost, thank you to everyone. Corner Club episode earlier this week, talking pro wrestling, a little boxing, a little MMA, but everyone who came through held it down. If you're not on the Patreon, what are you waiting for? That's how we selected everyone to be on the show. Everyone delivered. Corner Club OG status on there gives you a chance to be on these episodes every single month. Chop it up. Every month, it'll be different. Sometimes people want to talk boxing. Sometimes people want to talk MMA. Cool. If you guys get chosen, you're in Corner Club OG, $10 status. We choose your ass every month. Even better. You're just going to come on here and talk about whatever is dope that month. I'm sure people next month want to talk about Ryan Garcia versus Devin Haney. And probably some WrestleMania recap. So make sure you guys join that tier. Everyone else on Patreon, though, thank you guys as well. We're going to be doing giveaways right after Mania season. Shout out to everyone who's breaking out the OG Corner Club t-shirts and everything. Still got more of those. I'll probably start sending them out to people. It's been one hell of a ride on Patreon. Discord is growing in numbers. Everyone there, we appreciate you. Really, really do. Join that Corner Podcast on Patreon if you aren't already. But, oh, man, it is nice to have you back. We're talking boxing to start off this show. But really, I just want to hear about your weekend. How was it? NAACP nominee Andres Hill. Put that shit on everything.
Yeah, that was it was crazy, man. Like, it didn't feel real until we got there. Well, I got to LA Thursday, and Friday? I don't fucking know. I can't remember what day I got there. I know we had dinner. We did a pre-awards dinner where we just gathered. We went to a spot in Glendale, California. And chopped it up. We were like, all right, this is pretty cool. Like, this is happening. Like, we're nominated for an award off of a cartoon that we made, you know, that we conceptualized on Kickstarter. It's kind of dope. But it didn't start feeling real until, yeah, so we had dinner Thursday. Friday morning, we had our custom suit fitting with King Troy, the man who styles Seth Rollins. Troy gets there. He pulls the suits out, and he's got different looks for us. And that's when we were like, oh, yeah, like, we're actually going to a award show. Like, we're getting fitted. We're getting stuff tailored. And Troy's dope, man. Like, he styles other people. People don't know. Like, obviously, he does, like, Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. But NeNe Leakes, Jasmine Sullivan. Like, he worked in the hip-hop industry and music industry for a long time. So those fire-ass Seth Rollins looks are not by accident. These are looks from a guy from the entertainment business. And he put together a dope look. Like, originally, for those who have seen the jackets, like, mad people was like, where'd you get that jacket? You know, it's custom made. But
it's a lot of fabric for E. That's a lot of fabric.
Man, look, first of all, this dude, I can't remember his measurements, but his measurements was wrong because he got bigger, right?
the chest is chested.
So Troy had all our measurements, he gets there. My coat fits. Johnny's coat needs a little bit of alterations. He can't close the jacket to his coat. And Troy's like, yo, these are the measurements you just gave me, bro. And he was like, I don't know what happened. I was like, you've been working out? He was like, yeah. I was like, that's what happened. You got bigger. So yeah, he needed a lot of fabric to cover that big meaty man bumping meat chest. Like he's huge. Like it's just ridiculous. Like my wife hasn't met E. She finally met him for the first time. And one, she was like, you know, it's my wife. She was like, God damn, he's short. He's a lot shorter than I expected. Right. Two, she was like, that man has the biggest chest I've ever seen in my life. Like that shit ain't real. Like she hugged him and she looked at me. She was like, this don't make no damn sense. Like, how is
At
he
all.
this big? But yeah, so
Man,
we got fitted.
solid too, just solid.
Yeah. Solid as hell. So we got fitted, and then you know, Saturday's the day of the awards. We all, you know, we got together a little bit early. Got dressed, took some pictures, then we went down to the shrine. And then from there it was like, we're here. Like Oprah's there, Tyler Perry's there, like the other nominees are there, Taraji Henson, Fantasia. And for those two, I didn't think about it. They've never done this at all before. I've covered award shows for years, so it's weird to me because I'm on the other side of it. I'm used to being media. I'm used to working the carpet. I'm used to after whoever wins their awards, like talking to people. I didn't have to do any of that. I was there as a straight up nominee, and we just acted a damn fool. Award shows aren't necessarily exciting, but it was just cool to be there. We didn't win our category, which is fine. I don't care. We got nominated, and then we went to the NAACP Image Awards after party. That's where the fun was at. So we get there. It's invite only like nominees and like entertainers and celebrities. So shout out to Gail Bean, who was on one of our early episodes of the Corner Podcast.
And she won.
She won for Best Supporting Actress in Snowfall. And we had, you know, I had mentioned it before, like that's how I found out we got nominated, because she got nominated. And I was congratulating her, and I looked down the list and I saw we got nominated. So for the past several weeks, we have been texting, like, can't wait to see you in LA. I ain't seen you in mad long. And I'm just like, it's kind of crazy because when I met her, we were at Sundance. And that was 7 years ago. I think it was before my daughter was born
Wow.
when I first met Gail. And she had just did her first movie. It was a Chris Webber produced film. So
Nine
how long
years
ago was,
ago
yeah, it might have been longer. Mayweather Pacquiao was what
was
year?
our we're approaching year nine
Okay.
next week is year nine is podcast. Gail
Jeez.
was on it May of that year,
So that was
so
2015?
yeah, so 9
Okay.
years ago she was on our podcast, and you had gone to Sundance and met her that February before.
Yeah, the
That's why
January
she was our
before. Yep.
guest.
Yep. And then
So
she hit me. We stayed in contact.
9 years
Yep.
ago.
Because I was like, you know, I interviewed her. I interviewed Chris Webber. And I was like, I saw the movie and I was like, man, she's really good. I don't know if this is going to go anywhere because it's Sundance, but, you know, it is what it is. Kept in contact with her. Obviously, we did the Mayweather Pacquiao fight. She did our podcast. And I don't know. I have to go back. I think she mentioned Snowfall on the podcast without mentioning Snowfall.
Yeah, she was saying that she was working on a new project, and we were just
Yeah.
like, oh, okay. I didn't know it was Snowfall either.
No.
Because one of the things we talked about with her was Empire. And I think that's how it came up.
Yep.
Where she was like, I'm working on a show with like an all black cast, blah, blah. It's like, oh, but we were talking about kind of the ratchetness of Empire. She's like, no, it's different. And I was like,
And it
okay.
turned out to be different.
A
She's
lot different.
one of the best acting crackheads we have ever seen in Snowfall, as Wanda. She won the award, which is really dope. So when I get to the after party, me and Johnny pull up. Ludacris is performing. We had no idea. Like, Ludacris is performing all the hits, right? Like walk in, I see Shameik Moore. Man, like everybody's at this party, and I see Gail chopping up with Gail. Like they had. I forgot whatever tequila company it was, where they were doing tequila old fashions, and me and Johnny got lit enough tequila old fashions all night.
They are after your heart with that one.
Yeah, man, they had a spread with like shrimp and grits, soul food. So like you got fools in full ass suits eating like shrimp and grits and drinking tequila. It was a crazy experience, man. And I mean, before we even did that, we went and got pizza. So it's weird because. All right. So for those who don't know, and I'm putting E on the spot here, I'm sorry. His middle name is George. Yeah. So whenever he goes somewhere and he orders food, he doesn't say his name is Satori. He says his name is George. So after the awards, there's like this huge fallout of people. And we're like, well, we don't want to get an Uber right now because it's too many people and it's kind of early to go to the after party. So we're just going to go find some food. So we went to Blaze Pizza. So the three of us in these suits go into Blaze Pizza, right? And everybody's looking at us. This is LA, right? It's downtown LA. And everybody's like, what the fuck are these fools doing here? But we're like dressed up in suits and shit. And immediately I noticed the black dude at the register notices who he is, right? And he's like, he's looking. And we order our food, and then the lady's like, what's the name for the order? And he's like, George. And I just started laughing because I was like, he's like, what? And I'm like, bro, George, right? Black dude leans over. He's like, I know your name's not George. New Day rocks. He like whispered it. I was like, look at this dude, man. And it's crazy to see the love that he gets. So we ate our pizza and we went and got some donuts. And then we called an Uber to go to the party. And the Uber driver pulls up. And he opens the door and he's like, Biggie, you guys just left the awards. He follows us on Twitter,
Yo.
him specifically, but he knew who we were. So he's like, this is, he had to be like 50, something like that. And his son loves pro wrestling. So we get in this car and he's like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I got the New Day, I got Our Heels rocking my Uber. And I'm like, this is crazy. He's just some random dude. And obviously, I learned that being around a person who has a public figure, I knew it was coming. When are you coming back? How's your neck doing? Da, 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 da. And I know he's spiel every time. I gotta get clear by the doctor. Da, 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 da. And I'm just watching this guy, and he's like, "Can I take a picture?" And he's taking a picture with the guy, and we pull up to the spot. And then the comedian Kev on stage, well, on social media, he's a fan, so he sees E. He runs up on him, take him and his wife taking pictures with E. It's on his social media, and I was just like, "This is crazy." Because E is so humble, he doesn't realize. I'm like, you are a celebrity. This may not be your space, but people know who you are, bro. Like, we got nominated for an award and people know who you are. So it was a wild night just to see all that. We enjoyed ourselves. I didn't want to come back. It was a unique experience. Kind of puts a cap on all the work that we've done over the past 3 years to make this cartoon. And obviously, we're not done. We got some other things in the works, but it was nice, man. It was nice to get away, be with the guys, and celebrate something that we didn't make to win awards. We didn't make to make a bunch of money. We wanted to, make a change. And the fact that our peers recognize us and we got to share oxygen in the same room as Oprah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, man, there's a space for it. It's always funny to hear like E just being E, 'cause really he lives in his own world
He does.
where it's just like no people know you, and nobody has a chest like that. So even if they don't, they're wondering how the hell this guy gets so big.
See, that's the thing. You know this, right? Like when we were in Vegas at that time, he walked to meet us at the restaurant. I'm like, how are you walking? He was the champ at the time. But you can't just walk the streets of Las Vegas. Watch me. And he walked. And I'm like, what is
All
wrong
right.
with him? He does this everywhere he goes. And he's very unassuming. And he acts like nobody knows who he is until people just start looking. Because, yeah, you can't miss him. He don't look like me and you.
No.
This big barrel-chested dude with his hearty laugh. And, like, he stands out. But him, he's just like, oh, people don't know me. I'm like, I just don't understand how you live like this.
Well, we went to that
Ridiculous.
Canelo after party. I don't even
Oof.
think I have my, I didn't have my new SUV yet. Like, I didn't have the Blazer yet. So I still have like just the white Ford. I don't even know what the other car is, like a Ford something or another is what I had. And so I have my older car still. And he was like, yo, I'll just ride with you. I was like, all right, he like, I just got normal. Oh, it's a Ford Fusion. I was like, I just got normal ass car. Oh, who cares? Let's
He
go.
does not
And he
he does not
just
care.
like he does not care. And his big ass shoulders and me with my shoulders, like we're just in the front seats of this car, and we're just like, he's like, oh, it's like he's like the coolest. Like, he has no clue just that he's like one of the coolest guys ever. And that's what makes him one of the coolest guys ever. I am shocked to hear he ate a donut.
No, he did not. He did not eat a
Okay.
donut.
I said, shocked.
Like he like he
The pizza is stretching
He
itself.
didn't eat pizza either.
I saw him posing a picture with the
He
pizza.
posed with the pizza. He didn't eat the
He
pizza.
kayfabed
He yeah, he ate some
me.
meatballs. Yeah, man, he that's him.
Healthy eating is just the commitment to the grind between
Yeah.
working out and his healthy eating. I was like, oh, I'm never look like that. Like, I don't got
No.
it in me.
I wouldn't even try. Like when I listen to him talk, he's like, wakes up at 4 in the morning, I'm going to the gym. And he'll text me at like 4 in the morning, and he knows I'm not awake, but he'll text me. Because right now we've been listening to Schoolboy Q's album, and we have a different favorite song, and he'll text me, what do you think of this song? And it's like 4 in the morning, I wake up, and I wake up at like 5:30 in the morning. Sometimes he wakes up at like 4 in the morning his time. So it's like 1 in the morning, and I'm still awake. I'm like, bro, go to sleep. And going to the gym, I'm like, I ain't got that kind of dedication. I will never be that buff. I give up.
Nah, his whole life has been like that. That's
Yeah.
wild to think. Like, because
Huge.
I know, like, college football programs, he was a lot stronger than me. He went to a way bigger college. So he's been doing this since 18, 17,
Yeah.
straight through. Damn.
Nonstop.
Yeah. So, no, you guys deserve everything. He, is, like you said, the most humble guy. So he deserves everything. I'm glad everything went well. Producer Cole, baby. Help me hold down the show in your absence. That was really fun. But we really didn't get to talk boxing. So I was like, all right, I'll save this for when the old man is back. And boxing, listen, it's boxing. Twists and turns everywhere. I guess we gotta start with we got the first look at Canelo versus Jaime Munguia
Disgusting.
this week. they tried to make it look like a big fight. The best thing that came out of this was the Canelo quote. David Benavidez brings no money to the table for me, just 25 pounds more than me. He has nothing to offer me money-wise, but if one promoter who I work with comes and says, I'll offer you 150 to 200 million, I'll fight him tomorrow. We now know what it's going to take to get Canelo in the ring.
So it's a duck. This is a
150.
duck. Like anybody who wants to debate me on this line of answer, the answer that he just gave should confirm that this is a duck. One, let's start here. What does Munguia bring to the table that's any different than David Benavidez? Munguia has a headline of pay-per-view. Munguia, like Benavidez is headline two. Two. Munguia has done nothing to bring any money to the table. It ain't the Mexican thing because David Benavidez is a Mexican. So that ain't it. Two, he brings nothing, but he's 25. What has he done? Well, he's your mandatory because he's the WBC interim super middleweight champion. He's undefeated. He is in line to fight for your belt. What has Munguia done? Beat John Ryder? Nah. Three, 25 pounds heavier. Canelo, I seen you do this before. You beat up Amir Khan when you were like 25 pounds heavier than him. You were bigger than Miguel Cotto when you fought him.
He was just bigger than Charlo.
Like, what are we talking about? Charlo had to move up two weight classes to fight you.
Just now, he was bigger than Charlo.
And now you're going to complain that David Benavidez, who is in your weight class, will be bigger than you on fight night? This is a duck. $200 million? Come on, bro. Who going to pay? Just say you don't want to fight the man. Just say you don't want it.
It is interesting because when you put that number out, a Saudi prince could be here like, I know for a fact. The Saudi prince follows what was Boxing Scene, but I'm assuming he still does. I don't know if Boxing Scene is still ongoing. But when I was at ESPN Ringside, he followed ESPN Ringside. He liked like posts, like he was a normal ass person liking posts. If he sees this quote, and he's just like, 150? Fuck it, I want to see this fight. What if he puts 150 on the table? It's
Canelo's gonna say
very
something.
possible.
I mean, one, it's way too much. Like, I wouldn't pay, even if I had it, I wouldn't pay Canelo that off of principle. Like, you don't need $200 million to fight this man. Like, what's wrong with you?
The guy's
Right?
not that dangerous. Like, he's
Right.
dangerous,
Like,
but he's not like
it's a duck.
crazy.
It's a duck. Like, I keep saying I respect Canelo, but this is all smoke and mirrors, man. Like, you can't sit here and big up Jaime Munguia like he's a worthy challenger. When he's not even in your weight class, he just got here. Benavidez has fought at 168 virtually his entire career. He's essentially cleaned out this division of everybody else that could pose a potential threat, and you're saying he's done nothing to earn it. That's crazy. Just say you're scared of the man.
I
And
mean, Munguia is not in the top four people who've earned a title shot
not
that
at
makes that
all.
168. He's not. Big Charlo deserves a title shot more than Jaime Munguia.
They both don't. They got like
They
all this
don't.
shit.
But at least Charlo's been a champion and
Right.
has legit just kind of aged out of that weight class. Like he just
Yeah.
got naturally bigger. Like Mugia can go right back to his weight class and probably will after this fight. It's one of those things where at least Charlo held that belt for God knows how long. Like, and he's just moving up. Okay, he's been a little inactive, but his resume and his drawing potential is a lot bigger than Habib Mugia.
So here's the real question. And as I ask this question, I know immediately people are going to go, I know the, then you're going to go, no, I don't know. What's the bigger mismatch? Canelo Munguia or Jake Paul Mike Tyson?
Jake Paul, Mike Tyson. Munguia is a champion. He's younger than Canelo. He has less mileage on him. There's a chance Father Time catches Canelo. And what we've been seeing is a stiff decline. And a young guy can catch him slipping. Tyson is 57, about to be 58 years old. There's no way. 58? I don't care how many mushrooms you do. I don't care how much weed you smoke. He is 58 years old. No, he's not beating Jake Paul. To the point, there might not even be judges. So what are we talking about a mismatch? No, we might not even have legit scoring of that fight. So no, but I would say this. There is a better. Canelo's not losing time in Munguia. Jake Paul, Tyson, Mike Tyson could have no judges, no official scores, and it's a better chance of Mike Tyson beating Jake Paul than Habib Munguia beating Canelo.
So the bigger mismatches,
It's not a
I
bigger
mean, Mugia. Yeah,
mismatch.
it
Not a
is.
bigger mismatch. But there's just no way because essentially, for some reason, and not to say it's going to happen because not. It's a huge mismatch. But Tyson could, for some reason, in the first 15 minutes, sleep Jake Paul. Whether there's judges or not. And there's a winner. I don't care if it's an exhibition. If he knocks a man out cold, there's a clear winner. There's no chance of Jaime Munguia doing that to Canelo.
I think you're
Now,
answering the question. You're
no, but Jaime Munguia could go the distance, beat him. The judges can do a scorecard. It'll be really tough. But if Father Time caught Canelo, maybe you can get him off of a decision and actually have a win.
Yeah, I think the bigger mismatch is Canelo and Mugia. Like easy. For a couple of reasons. One, in the public eye. In the public eye, there's so many people that think that Mike Tyson could beat Jake Paul.
Which is ridiculous. We've determined this.
We have said this. But for people, there's people like Mike Tyson's gonna kill Jake Paul, right? And there's other people like, nah, Jake Paul gonna beat Mike Tyson. There is nobody that is saying Jaime Munguia is gonna beat Canelo. Nobody. Like, the reason why I say it's a bigger mismatch is Munguia was dead to rights against Sergey Derevchenko. Dead. Dead to rights. And yeah, he beat John Ryder, but who's John Ryder? Munguia hasn't really beat anybody. Like, this is Jake Paul's not on Canelo's level. I don't care how much slippage Canelo has. He's still, to me, light years better than Jaime Munguia, and he's probably going to stop him in May. He's probably going to stop Munguia, right? There is no scenario that I see Jaime Munguia beating Canelo. He's not better defensively. He's not better offensively. He doesn't have better footwork. He doesn't have a better chin. He's undefeated, but he didn't fight anybody.
Yeah.
Like, at least there are people that believe that Mike Tyson could beat Jake Paul. There is more intrigue in the first 6 minutes of that fight than Canelo versus Jaime Munguia. It's embarrassing that this fight is happening. Like, as much as everybody complains about Tyson Jake Paul, and I completely understand why, the reason why that fight is happening is because so many of you listeners out there are going, but what if Mike becomes Mike again? And I think it's ridiculous, but y'all believe that shit. There is a level of intrigue that we really don't know what's going to happen. When that bell rings with Canelo and Munguia, we know exactly what's going to happen. Munguia is going to try to come at him. If he can't land, he's going to freeze. Canelo's going to hit him with the body shots, pick him apart, either a late stoppage or he's just going to dominate the fight. At least with Tyson Jake Paul, you don't know exactly what's going to happen.
There's only one way for Mike Tyson to win,
That's
and it's a
true.
very small way.
Shit, there's only one way for Munguia to win. Munguia beating Canelo in Vegas? If Dmitry Bivol couldn't do it, you think this fucking guy can?
He did do it.
Well, you know what I mean. As
But
far as the
yeah, it was
scorecards.
ridiculous. Yeah, it was
Like,
ridiculous.
Dmitry
Like,
Bivol
but
dominated that man.
and won by a round.
Right. You think Munguia is going to convince Vegas judges?
I don't think so. But if Father Time caught Canelo and he uses the exact same game plan, maybe.
Munguia is not even close as good as Dmitry Bivol.
No, he's not. He's nowhere near. It's
It's a mismatch. It's gross. This fight is gross.
They're both gross in very different ways.
They are, but Canelo, the bigger issue with Canelo is that you're holding the belts hostage. Just give them fucking things up. You don't want to defend those titles.
Nor do you need to.
No. So just move on. Just say, I don't want to do this.
You
Here, Benavidez.
need one belt to move up. And I talked about this on the Patreon show with the Corner Club. It's like, I understand what Canelo's doing, so I won't call it a duck. He and his team are a product of the schedule and schedule watching right now. It is, you have better BF versus Bivol happening June 1st. Theoretically, there's probably a rematch clause in there. So they'll fight again in September. You have to know what happens in that fight. If Dmitry Bivol beats Artur Beterbiev, then Canelo saying, I'm going to take another cupcake in September. Y'all say whatever the hell y'all want about me. And I'm getting Dmitry Bivol early next year or next May for all the belts at 175. It is my rematch, it's my redemption, and it's my chance to become undisputed in a second weight class right after each other. Quick, quick, quick. That's what he's looking at. Where if Beterbiev wins, then it's just like, well, the Bivol luster's off. Now I can worry about my own division. I have all my belts. Maybe I'll entertain David Benavidez in September. Maybe I'll entertain a Terrence Crawford because that's gone. But as long as the carrot of Bivol's still out there and heightened stakes, where it's not just for one belt, it's for all the belts and real legacy making history for Canelo, he's taking no chances until he sees what Bivol does.
And that's some clown shit. Look, if you're that good, you fight the best. If you got the titles, you defend them against the
He
best.
is, but it aligns perfectly with the revenge and the person he wants.
It's still clown shit
And
because.
once you vacate, you become a mandatory challenger. Who's not going to let Canelo skip the line and fight the undisputed champion at 175? Even if Benavidez is up there and now he's allegedly going to be the mandatory, Canelo skip his ass up there too.
Yeah, it's clown shit because. Bivol's not interested in you. He already beat you. He's not interested. He said he fights you at 68 for your belts. And you're like, no.
But
Right?
now you can force it.
You can force it. If I'm Bivol, I'm like, fuck this shit. Here, you can have the belt. Like, this is some
You
pussy
said,
shit.
fuck
Like,
it. You can have the
look, you can have it.
175 belt.
You haven't
I'm
earned
not going to
shit.
fight you.
You haven't earned shit. If I'm Bivol, like, I look at you like you haven't earned shit. Go fight another 75 pounder before you fight me. You deserve nothing.
That's a cold
Because,
use of work.
yeah. Like, we know Bivol's not in it for the money. We know that Bivol doesn't care. Like, he's fighting in the Saudi. Like, he's going to have more money than he knows what to do with after this Beterbiev fight, win or lose. If you see Canelo coming trying to backdoor his way in, it's like, you ain't fighting the best people in your division. How are you going to justify a fight with me? I washed you. You going to try again? Go fight somebody else. Here, take this green-ass belt. Fuck out of here. Right? Like,
I got
because.
three other ones, and I'm already undisputed. I don't
Yeah,
care.
I'm good. I've already done this. Go fight Beterbiev. I bet you won't. Like, if you think it ain't like, it's one thing to want to make history, but it's another thing to lie to the fans and tell them, I want to fight the best. No, you don't. You don't. You're trying to sneak your way around to get titles and try to put it on your resume rather than fighting the best fighters in the division. And we all know it. It's a duck because that man is your mandatory. It's a duck.
Do you think he would have gone for the same undisputed path if, and this is a big hypothetical, if Benavidez didn't lose the title that second time on the scales?
Before I would have said yes. Now I don't know. Because everything that he's doing suggests he wants no parts of this man, including the lies that he's telling as the reasons why he's not fighting him. Again, it's one thing to say, oh, I got other people to fight. But you couldn't make a list right now that anybody would go, yeah, you should fight Jaime Munguia over David Benavidez. Yeah, you should fight Jermell Charlo over David Benavidez. You should fight Jermall Charlo over David Benavidez. The only name was Terrence Crawford. And then you told a lie there. What will I get if I beat him? He's two weight classes below me.
Yep.
You just fought a dude that's two weight classes below you. Maybe he's three, but he's better. So all you're doing is telling lies. So I don't know what it is that he and I just don't I don't get it. I'm losing respect for Canelo. I think he's a tremendous fighter. But why are you not fighting this man? Like, why are you making up reasons not to fight this man? Why are you saying you need 200 million to fight him? Like, someone didn't ever say that about an
No.
opponent. 200 million? What are we, stupid? Like, what kind of game are we playing? 200 million.
What kind of game are we playing? If 200 is not too crazy considering it could just very well be the last fight of his career. So he's like, yo, if you want me to step in there against someone, you got to pay me the equivalent of four fights because this may just be my last fight. If I don't fight him, then I'm probably fighting four more fights and getting this 200 million. So
I don't understand this shit.
it's the equivalent of you want me to risk the rest of my career? Pay me what I'm going to make the rest of my career.
So if you're risking it, it means you have doubt.
Oh, there's doubt.
Like, it's evident there's doubt. There's no doubt you're gonna beat Munguia unless you just fall off a cliff that night.
And if
Like,
for some reason you want to fight Berlanga
come on,
and
man.
MSG in September, there's no doubt.
You're not even fighting worthy contenders. Like, these are not people that have proven anything.
But no one's forcing a
Anything.
mandatory on them, so you do whatever you want.
No, but just stop lying to the fans. Stop saying you want to fight the best. Stop saying that you want to be the best champion ever. Stop telling lies like you did before, like, oh, I'm not fighting another Mexican. Then you go fucking fight a Mexican. Cut it out. The games, Canelo. Like, what is this?
That's
Like,
a tough thing to stick by because you can't control people's ethnicity.
yeah, like, what do you do? But then, furthermore, it's like, you can't even lie and say, oh, my English is bad. I fucked up. I heard you talk, motherfucker. I know that you know what you're saying.
Oh,
You
yeah,
can't
no.
lie to us. You are ducking this man. And Benavidez is like, I don't know what kind of solace he takes in this, but he's just like, I know he don't want to fight me. Like, I know it now. It's not like maybe it's a better alternative. Munguia? That's the alternative?
If Bivol loses and
Canelo don't want that smoke neither.
no, he's not fighting
Better
Artur.
BF? Holy
He's not fighting
smokes.
Artur Beterbiev. Man has 100% knockout rate. But if Bivol loses and he loses, Canelo loses that pipe dream and still doesn't fight Benavidez in September, then I'll say it's a duck.
Man, it's a duck today. It's a duck tomorrow. Duck, all the duck is doing is getting bigger. That's all it's doing. The duck is growing in age. This is a duck. This man laid an egg. It turned into a duck, swimming across the pond. If the fight doesn't happen September, the duck just gets bigger. Like,
I've been playing a lot of Pokemon on this flight, so
it's.
it's just evolving. It's
I
gone
just.
from Psyduck to Golduck, right? I believe.
I hate this fight. I hate it. I hate it. I've never. There's a lot of fights that I don't like in boxing for a variety of reasons, but this is the one I hate. I
I put
just,
in my credential today, so I guess I'll be there.
I mean,
I'll
have
watch
fun.
it.
I mean, I'll more than
You
likely
be
will be there
there.
as well, but
Yeah.
I ain't gonna enjoy it. I'm
No.
gonna hate watch that fight.
Watch it with a scowl from
Yeah, with a
Reese
vicious scowl on my face.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Meanwhile, in other boxing news, poor Tim Tszyu can't get an opponent to not get hurt. We lose Keith Thurman. Look, gets replaced by Sebastian Fundora, who got massacred. Like, Tim Bird, knockout of the year candidate last year, but hey, man, he's done enough to be a jump in on the short notice. That's the fight we got.
I'm not mad at him going on short notice. It's not like they booked him to be in a title fight. It's like he's stepping up. It's drastically different in terms of style.
Yeah.
That Tim Tszyu has to now deal with. Like, so Fundora's not like overly polished, but on 10 days notice, when you're 6'6", you might pose a couple different problems for a guy.
It's a trick. It's an interesting fight. It's not a pay-per-view fight. This sucks for Amazon Prime and PBC, right? Like, you're going to be telling people, come watch, spend $70 and watch this guy you don't know from Australia and this guy that just got knocked out. Let's do it. Like, it's hard to convince people. The bigger thing is Keith Thurman.
Tough for Keith.
His inactivity has led to his health being an issue. And this man who was making the leap to 154, which the fight was intriguing. I thought Tim Tszyu may stop Keith, but Keith is very durable. But I was interested in the fight to see what Keith had left. Shout out to Sean Porter. I did Sean's podcast, and Sean thinks that Keith has a chance, right? Now this fight's not happening. And it sucks for Tszyu because he's trying to make a name for himself. He wanted to be undisputed against Charlo. That would have helped. Didn't happen. Keith Thurman is a name. If he would have beat the hell out of Keith Thurman, people would have been like, Terrence Crawford, that's a perfect fight. It's a huge fight for everybody involved. But now you fight Fundora and you're back to square one. Because if you beat him, nobody cares. Like, I don't know how many pay-per-views this is going to do. 16? 20? Not 1,000.
I don't even know how you measure on Amazon 100? Prime.
1,600 pay-per-views? I don't know.
Maybe. Australia. Yeah. Australia pump money into it.
It sucks, man. I feel bad for Tim. I've lost a lot of, like, of course I'm going to still watch the fight. It's on my son's birthday, so chances are I'm not even going to go. So it's like, I'm still interested in the Isak Cruz, Rolly Romero fight.
That but the main event, most intriguing one. Rolly Romero is, he's adopted a Chihuahua.
Yeah, okay.
To understand what it's like to be around someone like Isak Cruz. So that's hilarious. Rolly is always good for the fight week buildup.
That guy's something else. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll dig into it a little bit more next week. But Tim Tszyu, Sebastian Fundora, it's a Showtime Saturday night fight.
Bud Crawford put in his mandatory. So finally, you know, the belts are vacated in 47, if we didn't know that already. Right. But this makes Boots the undisputed champion at 147. Crawford is no longer super champion. He cashed that in. And
well, Boots won't be undisputed, will he? Like, Boots has to fight.
No. Yeah. Boots is going to be given the title.
He not all of them.
No, I mean just that. WBO. He will be the one WBO champion.
He'll
he won't
fight
be undisputed at 147.
He'll fight for that vacant title against Cody Crawley. That's going up for a purse bid next week.
I don't think he has to fight anyone for it. I believe he's already the champion, and Crawford was super champion.
You might be right.
Yeah, so I think that's for another title.
No, it's WBO. It's going to purse bid. Like, that fight, it's whether Boots is the champ or not is the question. If it's vacant or if Boots is just the champion. Doesn't matter. Treat like the UFC. Nobody's a champ until somebody fights for this damn thing.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where now Crawford and Tszyu is a really good fight at 154. Terrence did that strategically. I'm sure when he thought, well, it was going to be Thurman. So, like, either way, either I'm getting a huge pay-per-view in Australia, which he'd probably travel for because the money would be right, or I'm fighting Keith Thurman, which is a huge fight just off of name value. Now with Fedora, he's like, well, I'm fighting Tim Tszyu. But Bud is looking at it like, that's a good fight, especially, you know, at 54, I only got so much time. Yeah, I know he's looking at it and where he's like, Canelo cleaned out an entire division in a year. If I can take out the hardest guy first, I could do the same. Like, he's not a guy who fights a lot. But he's like, I also don't got a lot of mileage. And these guys, when he's looking around, aren't that great. So I think I could
Yeah.
belt collect and beat everyone. Kazoo is the hardest. Beat everyone in the calendar year and then figure it out. Now, Canelo, what are you gonna do? I'm a three division undisputed champion. Like that
Avoid him.
shit's never gonna be done. Or you know what, Charlo? You took enough time off. Come get this ass. Like, let's make some money. And then if Spence is healthy by then, you never know. Like, yo, Spence,
Hey.
you want to crack at this undisputed or what?
I don't know what Spence is up to. Like, he seems pretty happy with the money that he made and like taking his kids to like the zoo and shit. I'm not necessarily sure that he's really that interested in boxing right now. Not that he's retired, but just right now he's just like, meh. I'm not in a rush to fight. And the older you get, the more difficult it is to go back into training camp. So,
Sean has told us that. That was the
yep.
hardest part.
Like, they all have that it's very difficult to get up. Forget the fight. You can fight on any night, but to train for 8 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever it is, losing weight and eating shit. And I don't know if Errol wants to do that. Terrence is in the tricky spot because you don't want to see this man unceremoniously retire. And it feels like we're about to get there. Like, if Canelo doesn't fight him, what's the fight that people will go, man, it's a great way to go out? Tim Zhu's not it because Tim Zhu's name isn't big enough.
No, you just gotta again take four fights in 16 months. So if he starts late summer against Zou, you want to go all next year. So yeah, you want to be undisputed by next December, 2025. You're 37 years old, and then you hope for one more. You know, you hope either it's a Spence rematch where you can get a little cash out or something. At that time. If Charlo's like, yo, I was the last undisputed champion in this weight class, you're the new undisputed champion, let's get it. That's a fight where maybe you'd be like, all right, cool. But there's no one else.
There's nobody. It's like you look around, there's
He's reached the peak of his career, which isn't bad. He
no.
peaked at 35, the first two division undisputed champion on the men's side in history, made a shit ton of money against Spence, where it was what two and it's two top four pound for pound guys, however you slice it, in the world at that time, and beat the dog shit out. It's not gonna get any better than that.
Nah, it won't. I just wish that the Canelo fight would have materialized and Canelo wasn't such a punk. I just don't understand what Canelo's doing. And I wish that Terrence Crawford had a nice follow-up. But the longer he's inactive, the more difficult it is for him to fight. And I like to see him get back in the ring because now if you put it in to be the mandatory, well, that's still summer. I guess March 2024. So it'll be a year on the sidelines for Terrence Crawford. Which a year when in your 20s isn't a big deal, but a year when you're in your mid 30s can be a big deal. I hope he has a fight before the end of the year. That's all. Hope this man fights before the end of the year. I
I
honestly
think he's
hope.
guaranteed that now. Like he's made it clear like he's gonna fight this.
I wonder, and there's no knowledge, nothing. I wonder if there's a part of Terrence Crawford that's like, if I can't find the right opponent, maybe I'll just fight at the Sphere and be the first boxer in there. Like, fuck Dana White in the UFC. I know they're doing Mexican Independence Day, but why?
Beat
I
him
might as
to
well.
it.
Yeah, I'll just do it July, August. It doesn't matter against who. Just the visual aspect of it would just be great for Terrence Crawford to open that arena. There's nothing else for him to accomplish other than fighting another undisputed champion or another pound for pound guy. He's beating everybody he has to beat. And if anybody's listening to this podcast and is going, what about Boots Ennis? Boots hasn't done enough to earn that shot against Terrence Crawford. He hasn't.
Terrence has the claim of what Canelo's claiming against Benavidez, that
Yeah.
he has no leg to stand on with Benavidez. Terrence has that with Boots. Boots has main evented two fights his entire career, neither
Yeah.
on pay-per-view.
No, like Showtime Championship Series.
Yeah.
Castillo Clayton. Like we can't we th it's not apples to apples. Like Benavidez has headlined two pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Like Boots hasn't done that. Hopefully they get a fight for Boots. It looks like I mean if it is the Cody Crawley fight, Cody Crawley is a very durable and tough guy. But he's in over his head against Boots.
Boots gets him out of there in three.
Nah, Cody will last a little bit longer. Cody could take a lot of punishment, but Cody's not going to win.
I've thought that about prior Boots and his opponents. They
It's,
go by the wayside.
but Boots needs to fight this summer because people need to be reminded about how good he is. And then anybody wants to bang the drum for a Crawford fight, go for it. But right now, all this inactivity, like if you look at all these guys who aren't fighting, Nobody's fighting in the higher weight classes.
No.
Under 47, fighting. 47 and up, we ain't seen Boots. We ain't seen Keith. We haven't seen Terrence. We haven't seen Errol. We haven't seen Charles since he got beat up, and
No,
Big Charles
Danny.
since he barely won. We
Danny
haven't
was
seen
supposed to
Danny.
fight like for the
One on
past
the
2
list.
years. Yeah, like 60. Jonna Beck is the man. He stays active. Outside of
Don't
that, I
nobody
don't
want to fight that dude. Everybody's like, nah,
know.
I'm good.
I don't know who else has titles at 60.
Arisandi
Triple G
Lara
ain't
has a
coming
title.
back. I know he's supposed to fight Danny at
Yeah.
155 pounds for the 160
He
pound
just
cut.
picked a number out of a hat. What
That's it.
weight you want to fight at?
That's it.
155? Sure. Okay, whatever.
But they couldn't get that shit booked. That was supposed to be February and then pushed and then put. Like, they don't even have a contract with Barclays anymore. It's weird.
It is weird. It is weird. I don't know where any of this stuff goes. The other thing that's weird is Ryan Garcia. Yeah. So
Yeah.
Shakur Stevenson jumped in Bill Haney and Devin Haney's DMs talking about he'd take the fight. And rightfully so, Devin was like, you ain't the boss. Like, you gotta run that by Bob. Why are you calling us? That's not gonna happen. Ryan obviously says he's going to fight.
I
Oscar
think Bob
seems.
would sign off on that, by the way.
I think he would, but I don't
As
think it's
weird as
Shakur's
it
call.
is, no. But Bob
Yeah.
would be like, yeah, let's take it. Because
Yeah.
Bob, as crazy as it seems, Bob is. Thinks the highest of Shakur Stevenson. And if he can get him in with any of these other champions, it's like, yeah, listen, I don't care if it's on 2 weeks' notice, 2 days' notice. Bob will be like, my guy's gonna beat the shit out of that guy.
Yeah.
And he'll take it.
But seems like all systems are go for Haney and Ryan. I just don't know what to make of Ryan's social media. He was crying. What was that, yesterday?
2 days ago.
Whatever day it was. I
But
don't
then
know
he
what
was in
Ryan's
the
doing.
gym again yesterday.
And then did you see the video of
With
like
Derek James.
the weird one with Derrick James? Like looking at him, like, what is he doing?
Yeah,
He's
he
like
was like.
shadow boxing and he's doing weird shit. Like, then he's like drinking wine. I don't understand this. All I know is he's food for Devin Haney on April 20th. That's all I know. He's food. It's funny. Shakur said he wanted to fight him next. Ryan was like, sure, if Tank don't want to do the rematch. I'm like, bro, you lose this fight. No,
To be the
stop.
carcass of Ryan Garcia.
I don't understand what's going on.
It's one of those things where I don't know not only what Ryan wants to do, but what his team wants to do. Because I've been saying this from the start. It's not Ryan Garcia's job to pull himself out of his fight. That's not how fighters are. This is why you have a team.
Right.
There's other people in charge of this. Everyone's looking at these same social media posts. And one, if you're not just concerned for the man's overall health, you're like, he has no shot at winning this fight. He's not doing anything that a true high-level boxer is supposed to do heading into one of the two, three biggest fights of his career. You're sending this man out there to fail as a promoter, as a trainer, as whoever. You're setting him out there to fail. It's one of their jobs to say, no, we're going to make money together for the next 8 years. You're not in the right headspace now. As a promoter specifically, because he can't fire you. He's under contract. Maybe Derek James can't because he has a history of firing trainers and you'll just be out of there. So you just got to do whatever the fuck you got to do for your check. But as a promoter, Oscar De La Hoya, no, we're pulling you out of this fight. You'll be mad at me, but you're under contract for me. So when you get your shit together and your head is right, you come and see me, and I will get you another fight, but you're not going to ruin the next 5 years together we have, the next 10 fights, whatever you're contracted for. I don't know. Whatever that time is, you're not going to mess up our money and our future.
Did you see the video from Jandrea and Cynthia So when they talked to Oscar?
No.
And they were like, hey, you said you talked to Ryan. He's like, yeah, he's good. Yeah, he's good. And he was like, any mental health? No, he's good. Like, Oscar's like hell bent on sending Ryan out there, and like there's nothing wrong with him. He's just trolling. This makes me wonder. One, you can wonder, the simple answer is Oscar in denial? Or two, is Oscar just going, I gotta get this fucking guy out of my hair. I'm gonna send him out there to die and be done with it. Like, I feel like that's the alternative here. Oscar's had his problems with Ryan. Him not pulling him out of this fight is like, this is what you asked for. This is what you're gonna get.
Yeah.
And then after this, wash my hands of you. Maybe we're done.
Yeah. If you leave me, you ain't gonna leave me like you were with me. Like you're
No.
not gonna be, I'm not going to be losing a star. And I'm going to get your biggest money fights while you're with me.
We've seen like Oliver McCall cried against Lennox Lewis, but Oliver McCall didn't have social media before that fight happened. Right? He just started boo-hooing and everybody's like, what the fuck is this? Right? We don't know, but we knew Oliver McCall was in bad shape. But we found out the day of the fight. All the signs are here for Ryan. Like all of them are here. I can't think of another fighter who's had this kind of mental like breakdown in front of us before a fight, this far ahead of a fight. We're exactly 1 month from this fight. It's April 20th. Today, as we're recording, it's March 20th. Nothing about Ryan's behavior suggests that he's ready for this fight
Not
or he's
again.
ready for anything. He ain't ready for the world. Like, he needs help, not a fight. You think getting punched in the face is going to help?
That's the last thing the kid needs. The last thing he needs is a very public loss.
That's what this is going to be.
Yeah, like that's some shit that'll send someone over the edge in this mental state. Like you may not get him back as a person. Like
Don't get
he
it.
may be on some weird retreat shit where he's gone for 3 years, come back a whole different mental state. And it's sad, but this is one of those things where again, the promoter should save him from himself, but that's not Oscar De La Hoya's MO, I guess.
Nah, he's like, look, man, there's a lot of money for me to make off this fight. He said he wanted
And
it.
there's not another Ryan Garcia coming down the pipe, by the way.
No, it's like,
Schofield is great. He ain't Ryan.
no, Floyd's damn good, but he doesn't bring to the table what Ryan has. And Oscar was like, yeah, he's great. I predict a knockout. Of course you predict that, Oscar, because Ryan ain't gonna win no other way. So you gotta bank on him catching with a left hook. But the reason why this fight is so bad. It's not necessarily because Devin Haney's just a better fighter. It's because Devin Haney wants to hurt him.
Yeah.
That's what concerns me about this fight.
Now it
Because
made it
Devin,
personal. It made it ugly.
yeah. Like, it wasn't just a fight. It became very personal very quickly. And Devin is now in this merciless mode, was like, fuck, he made his bed. I'm gonna tuck his ass in. There is like Devin's going to try to hurt him. He's not going to just outbox him and be like, give him a hug and say, everything's cool. Devin's 24, 25. He don't give a fuck. He just wants to hurt that man and get him out of his hair. That's all that's going to happen. Maybe they'll make amends later, but I feel like on fight night, knowing where Devin's at in his career and knowing how many people doubt him, he wants to beat the shit out of Ryan Garcia so nobody ever questions him again. That's probably what's going to happen.
And with this mental state, people just say Ryan was fucked up and Devin still won't get his credit. That's going to be the shame out of all of this, is
Yeah.
that it should have propelled Devin to a higher level and eliminated some of those what ifs.
It
But
won't.
Ryan has so many built-in excuses now, and justifiably so. But they're going to say Ryan was in his mental state. This is not the right Ryan Garcia. You didn't beat the Ryan Garcia Tank beat. Ryan was doomed from the start of this. He's going to get no credit for whatever he does. And if he
Well,
doesn't stop him, then it's like, yo, you didn't stop a guy who wasn't even really here. Like you couldn't do what Tank did. Like you're not that, like it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation for Haney now. And that's what Ryan's really, because Ryan, if he wants to get in there and fight, whatever. If he wants to fuck up his own career, it's sad for the kid, whatever. But it's really doing Haney the disservice.
yeah, you're
Fucking up
not
Haney
getting it.
going forward.
Yeah, you ain't getting the like. I mean, it might help with some memes.
Maybe.
Might be a meme worthy finish,
But
but
this shit ain't cute. It ain't cool. No one, you're not making people want to run and buy the fight if you are
no,
trolling. Like this isn't selling a fight. You're turning off your fan base because you weren't the I'm cursing all the time kid. Oh my God, I'm gonna kill you, kid. Like, all these fans, it's because you were a pretty boy, model-esque, still like God-fearing kind of thing. Like, that was your whole gimmick. Like, yo, praise to God, blah, blah. All this, oh, he's a nice boy. I could bring around my mom, and he looks so cute. That was your gimmick. You know, teaching little TikTok girls how to box. That's the gimmick. This isn't the gimmick. It's not how you sell a fight to your fan base. It's not.
Nah, it's all bad. So, usually boxing is in a great place, but right now we're talking about Canelo, Munguia, we talk about Jake Paul and Mike Tyson in this fight.
Tyson
Yeah.
Fury's looking good, but that fight got canceled once. If it gets
Right.
canceled again, there's like craziness in the contract.
It ain't great boxing. It
And
ain't
no one's
great.
talking about the heavyweight undisputed fight of the world.
No,
No, I
no.
ain't even gonna be in the state. I'm gonna be in Mexico. It's my birthday weekend. It's on my birthday. I ain't gonna be here.
It's the downfall of Saudi Arabia is that they don't have to promote the fight. They got their money. Anthony Joshua got his money to fight Francis Ngannou. Francis Ngannou got his money. They don't have to
That
sell it.
was a good trailer, though.
It was a fantastic trailer, but that's all they do.
That's it.
You didn't see Anthony Joshua do any interviews. They don't have to.
That show was on like Friday morning.
Right, like once you get paid all that money, you're just performing for the prince. And then some people are watching. Casual fans don't, they're not going to care. They're not going to wake up Friday morning and be like, where's that AJ Francis fight? Like the Fury Usyk fight, as much as we're intrigued by this, the casual fan's not waking up to watch that fight. They're barely going to know what's happening because there's no press tour, there's no media run, there's nothing. It's just a fight. That's the problem with the Saudi Arabia stuff. While it's good, nobody knows what's going on. Casual fans have no idea these fights are happening.
Yeah, no, you're spot on with that one. So they're lining their pockets, but it's not helping boxing as a
At
whole.
all. Nope.
It's and people say like influencers, boxing and all this shit, which I haven't seen a lot of those either from DAZN lately. They've kind of gone cold with those. But like that's killing boxing. No.
No.
Like Saudi is doing worse for boxing outside of monetarily for the fighter than anything else has.
I
Because
mean,
the
they're
interest is
giving
low.
us the fights that we want, right? But we're hardcore fans. Like, those are fights that we want. But the difference between a big fight and a blockbuster pay-per-view is getting casual fans involved. The reason why Ryan Garcia will do so well is he's got this massive following. Fury and Usyk, they don't have that. And if you're not selling the fight, like, I'll go out on a limb and say there won't be a lot of coverage on ESPN because.
They might have to because Fury's with Top Rank, so it might be like obligated, but not.
But it won't be like
He's
huge.
not going to be on First Take. Like, at least
Right.
Ryan and Devin were on First Take.
It's Beterbiev and Bivol, as great of a fight it is, who gonna sell that fight?
Yeah, and that shit's on like ESPN, and they ain't going on no press tour. There ain't no
It's
car wash for that.
a huge fight, but to us to talk about boxing every day. If I go down the street and be like, hey man, you watch Beterbiev and Bivol, who the fuck is that? That's the first question you ask anybody on the street. If I go outside my house right now, ask my neighbor, watch Beterbiev and Bivol? Huh? What's that? Russian figure skating? Like, what is that? Fury and Usyk. What is that? The new Mad Max movie? Like, what is this? No, these casual fans have no idea who these guys are. And the Saudi Arabia cards are not, they have a great trailer seen on social media, but did you see that trailer on TV?
Not once.
No. It's hard, tough sell, tough sell.
Yeah,
But
it's
I like we're getting the fights, but it ain't helping.
nah. No one's gonna see a boxing fight until Netflix, July 20.
Jesus Christ.
So we'll see. That's the promotion's gone downhill. We still don't know when Tank is fighting again. Boxing is in a weird spot. It had such a great year last year.
Yeah.
This year is like a little weird. Like I
Very.
thought this year would build on that, and we got the announcement that we won, and this Haney Garcia fight looked great when it was announced. Shit just got weird. Injury to Fury, then Ryan kind of losing his shit, losing his mind. Don't know when Shakur's fighting again, and he had a stinker. Teofimo came out, had a stinker on the Thursday. Like, boxing, it's just snake bitten to start the year.
Ain't a great 2024 for boxing. They got to fix itself real quick. And Canelo McGee ain't fixing shit.
No, Canelo McGee is not adding to that at all. So, yeah, man, it's gonna be interesting to see how boxing things themselves out. This whole it has been great to have you back, and kudos, great hard work to all you guys, man. Everyone, I know you guys see the support online and everything. Corner Club showers you guys with support as well. You guys are the best. Everyone listening though, if you're not part of Corner Club on Patreon, what are you waiting for? Make sure you guys check us out there. If you're just listening to us, normal ass podcast, like, subscribe, leave us a little review. Those helps a ton. Get us into that algo. Follow us on social media, posting everywhere. Producer Cole Bay Bay has that thing rocking. We're on TikTok, Instagram, all that stuff, flooding content to all those platforms. Check for us, the Corner Podcast, all of those places. We appreciate you. More shows still to come this week. If you haven't listened to the Corner Club episode with our Patreon subscribers, make sure you guys check that out. One hell of a conversation on there with every single guest. So that was super fun. Myself, for the manager's hell. Till next time, we're out.
Peace.